And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 172. We're a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network, and now available on Stitcher as well as iTunes. And of course, you can download all of our old shows, not just the 15 that iTunes has, over at RadioFreeAsgard.com. You can go all the way back to episode number one and listen from the very beginning. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where the Fimbul Winter has started. Yes, we've had our first polar vortex and survived it, and we've actually had a really, really nice weekend weather-wise. I mean, it's been, you know, temperatures in the upper 40s and 50s all weekend, but today's been rainy all day, so I've mostly just stayed inside and played World of Warcraft and just kind of chilled out and tried to enjoy the weekend a little bit. All right, so there's really not a lot of news or anything. We're going to continue on. We've got about five more issues of the Lee Kirby run. So I'm going to go ahead and just continue right on with our review.
Cross the Rainbow Bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
And this week we are looking at the Mighty Thor, number 177. As a cover date of June of 1970, retailed for 15 cents. Cover art is by Jack Kirby. Looks like Everett inks on this. Doesn't really look like Coletta. Shows Thor on the middle of a battlefield, and there's a bunch of fallen warriors. And, of course, we have some very much alive warriors kind of coming from behind Thor. They're obviously not attacking Thor. They're attacking whatever's in front of Thor. And Thor shouting, "For Asgard!" And we see in the background, we have Hogan there, we have Fandral there. We have a guy who kind of looks like Balder, but I don't think he's supposed to be Balder. And that's about it. The cover blurb says, "God versus God in the greatest battle of all time." And we open up to the splash page where we have the credits. Stanley and Jack Kirby created this. Vinnie Coletta was the inker. And Artie Simek was the letterer. The title of the story, To End in Flames. So basically, if you remember, this is picking up where we left off a couple of episodes ago, where, remember, Loki has taken over Asgard, and because he's done that, and he's captured Odin, he put him in a giant dildo and threw him out into some other universe. And because of that, Surtur has escaped his prison and is currently attacking Asgard, and things don't look good for Asgard. So Loki and his helpers, Vizier, little wizard guy who helps him out, they have transported themselves to Earth. And Loki says, "We have safely reached the planet Earth. Thus, though Asgard may fall, Loki may be spared." And he and his vizier's wizard helper, whatever the guy is, they've appeared in the middle of the street, of course, in New York City, because, you know, that's where people stand. When they're from Asgard and they're in New York, they stand in the middle of the street. And the vizier saying to Loki, "But think you, Prince of Evil, if Surtur the giant fire demon destroys the eternal realm, how long can Earth survive?" And it's obviously warm weather here in New York because of people wearing miniskirts and there's somebody carrying one of those big fans that you fan yourself with. And so Loki and the vizier are just kind of looking around, and Loki notices that, you know, it's much warmer than it should be.
"Behold, the power of Surtur hath already reached this puny world." "Too true, my lord. Though it be winter, the air grows ever warmer."
And one of the people, you know, the crowd is like,
"It's cloudy. There's no sun. And yet it's hotter than July. How? Why?"
And It's interesting that, you know, he says it's cloudy and there's no sun, but they're pointing up into the sky and there's obviously this big yellow glow. So you would just think that people would just kind of assume it's the sun. Anyway, and the vizier saying,
though Asgard be at the other end of the universe, what doth affect there must likewise affect the earth. Then Loki shall flee to other worlds.
And at that point, the two of them are approached by a cop, and he's like, say, those clothes of yours, would you happen to be friends of the mighty Thor?
Profane not mine ears with his accursed name, says Loki.
Whatever's happening to the weather, I thought maybe he'd know something about it.
Mayhap he does, says Loki.
And he's thinking to himself,
and when Asgard falls neath the flaming onslaught of Surtur, then Thor shall fall as well. Thus, though Loki hath lost a kingdom, he hath gained his greatest victory, for the thunder god shall die.
And we shift scenes, and we are back in Asgard, and we're in a, I guess it's supposed to be the city of Asgard, but it all looks awfully small. It's kind of, you know, sitting on its island and surrounded by fire, and we see the Rainbow Bridge kind of snaking away from it. But things don't look too happy here because everything is burning, and you know, people are shouting, Surtur doth attack, and there be none to stop him.
Lord Odin has strangely vanished.
And Loki as well, and with them the royal ring imperial. So there be none to lead us now.
Because obviously nobody can be the leader unless they have the ring, right?
No, one yet remains, the noblest one of all. Behold, the mighty Thor.
I say to thee, stand fast, says Thor, wherever the danger, whatever the odds. Let none forget, we be Asgardians all. We fight for home, for the realm eternal, in the face of death. Let not man surrender.
And, you know, Thor's he's walking the walk here. He's being very much the leader.
Thor hath sounded the call. We do hear and obey.
Where the thunder god leads, there shall we follow. Then to arms and to horse, says Thor. Let the battle begin.
And we have Fandral and Hogan and Volstagg kind of riding up on their horses and, you know, kind of, I guess, to join the army.
Hold, son of Odin, says Fandral. Though we have searched us the realm, thy father remains still unfound.
To join you the ranks, loyal friends. Even as we speak, Baldur the Brave and the goddess Sif do continue the search. Each in his way must now serve the realm, and ours is the way of the warrior.
And they go charging off against the barrier of flame, and Thor's like, behold us, the dread barrier of flame! But it shall be a barrier no more. And he's whipping Mjolnir around and, you know, sort of tornado-y. And he flings it at the wall of flame. And he parts it like, you know, Moses parting the Red Sea, this sort of very Ten Commandments-y sort of thing. And the armies of Asgard are pouring through this gap in the flame that Mjolnir's created. And Fandral's like,
thine hammer hath created a vacuum. It hath caused the flames to part. Now onward, says Hogan, to yon giant himself. There doth he stand, looming as high as the tallest peak.
And Surtur speaks,
puny Asgardians, none but the vanished Odin may rival the power of Surtur.
He doth see us, the moment is come.
And we shift scenes, and we are with Baldur and Sif, and they're kind of racing around the palace and looking for Odin, obviously, though I think, don't they already know he's not here? Anyway. And Baldur's like,
if Odin be truly gone, 'twas Loki who gave the command.
And by the golden gates, 'tis Loki who shall answer for this deed, says Sif. But if the evil one hath fled, why come we to his castle?
The wizard Aigron doth remain, and he is Loki's fiendish ally.
And they go through a door, and Aigron, the evil wizard. I thought they got rid of Aigron. I thought they killed him. I don't remember. It's been a long time, but we've seen Aigron before.
Aigron, stand ye fast, says Baldur.
Mine ears perceive the voice of Baldur.
And thy flesh shall taste the steel of Baldur, unless thou answer true. What fate hath befallen Allfather Odin? I say thee, speak.
Fool, the knowledge will avail thee not.
And it looks like Baldur's kind of pinned his arms behind him, presumably so he can't, like, cast any spells or anything. Aigron, I guess, is leading Baldur to this giant pink Kirby machine here, very high tech with, you know, Kirby crackle and shit.
He hath been sent to the Sea of Eternal Night, from which there can be no return.
Base ignoble cowards! You struck like vipers while Odin slept.
Thou wilt send me to join him, says Balder, or not without this day.
Dost thou know what thou art saying? I will send thee gladly, for it be within the dimension of death.
Spare me thy word, sinister one. Time is of the essence. Here, noble Balder, shall Sif remain on guard till thou shalt return. And return I shall, or die a-trying, says Balder. And we shift scenes back to the army of Asgard, and they're riding over this weird, you know, kind of sort of Dr. Susie and Rock bridge towards Surtur, and Thor's in the lead.
What not his size or his deadly power filled thee with fear? We fight for the right. In the name of Lord Odin, we strike.
And Surtur hears that, and he's not amused.
Strike? Thou know not the meaning of the word, but Surtur will teach you.
And he's, you know, firing down a big pillars of flame and smashing all the rocks. And, you know, because Thor loves to speak the obvious.
Behind me all, he doth unleash a flame attack. I need no army for the likes of thee. Thor shall stand alone.
And so shall you fall, says Surtur.
And I noticed in this issue that Surtur's horns are not the wibbly-wobbly rubbery horns that he had before. They're much shorter now, and they actually are pretty much the same in every panel, so I don't need to mention that again.
By the power of mighty Mjolnir, I create a spear of wind. Wind now to quell thy flame, to force thee back despite thy size.
And he does this sort of Ajax White tornado things, whipping the hammer around, and indeed, it's like a vortex, maybe even a polar vortex. It just smashes into Surtur. He's trying to extinguish Surtur by blowing him out like a match.
Never have I felt such force, says Surtur. But Surtur is the god of flame. With but a thought, I increase my body heat. I strengthen the blaze, and so I recover.
And he's, you know, burning brighter, and you can see flames kind of shooting off of him.
Your power is great, God of Thunder, yet you are but the son of Odin, while Surtur is his equal. I shall destroy all Asgard, then the universe itself, and then rebuild it, fashioning the world to suit my own design.
And then he shoots some fire out of his fingers at a mountain, kind of a bunch of rocks.
See? With but a gesture I melt a mountainside entire.
And so there's this like mountain of lava just kind of pouring towards Thor. Thor doesn't really seem all that worried about it.
Now you are truly alone, cut off from your army by a wall of seething flame. You are doomed,
doomed.
Alone, mayhap, but beaten? Never, says Thor. Take to thy heels, loyal steed. Thy master hath no further need of thee.
And he gets off the horse and he whacks the horse on the back, on the butt. The horse goes running away. So, yeah, Thor likes to spank horses. And Thor's climbing up, kind of this rock face, and the lava and fire is getting higher and higher.
The sea of molten lava grows ever higher. And now no further can I climb. But still have I my stalwart hammer.
And he starts whipping around Mjolnir, and he takes off flying, as he does. And he's flying around Surtur.
And still shall Thor fight on.
It matters not where you may fly, says Surtur. There is no place I cannot reach you.
And he's shooting fire at Thor, but Thor's managing to deflect it with his hammer.
Thy bolts of flame might halt another foe, but Thor is the son of Odin, flesh of the flesh, blood of the blood. No matter the odds, Thor shall prevail.
And he's kind of up against a big rock face and big cliffs and stuff.
Beyond these cliffs, the surging sea, held back as by a dam. Let mighty Mjolnir strike one blow. Let the boulder shatter. Let the mountain fall. Let the sea burst forth in all its fury.
And he smacks the cliff face with a thoom. And we see water just pouring out and, you know, presumably to extinguish Surtur. And there's this, I feel sorry for this fish. There's this giant, like, monster fanged fish thing just kind of coming through in the poor fish. The fish is a innocent victim of all of this, I guess.
Let the flames of Surtur be engulfed for Odin and the Golden Realm.
And we shift scenes, and we are back in Loki's castle with Aigron and Baldur and Sif. And Aigron has put Baldur on this sort of teleportation disc thing, which I guess is how they send Odin to the to the realm of Eternal Night or whatever it's called. And Baldur is giving commands here. Aigron, send me forth. I command thee.
No need to command, foolhardy one. I do so gladly.
And he pulls the lever, and we get a whole crap load of Kirby Crackle. And unfortunately, it's just not good Kirby Crackle. You know, when Kirby Crackle is done right, it is amazing. I mean, the look is amazing. But this is really third-rate Kirby Crackle. This is even as good as the Kirby Crackle in the that Alan Moore thing, the 1963 series that Alan Moore did. And the Thor issue of that was called Horus, Lord of Light. Yeah, it was a bad copy of a 60s Thor comic. Anyway, so Aigron is saying,
for in doing so, I send thee to thy doom. Doom.
And we see, there's Kirby Crackle, bad Kirby Crackle, and then we just have this kind of weird dot pattern thing. And we see Baldur, he's kind of flying through a vortex, a kind of rainbow vortex, and he's talking during all of this.
I'm hurled into the limbo and dark of endless space. My limbs grow weaker with every heartbeat. My nerves now throb. My senses fail. With every breath, my body ages. The very flesh upon me withers.
And we see that he's aging super, super fast, and he's becoming all emaciated. And all old people in comics are all emaciated like Aunt May.
Only minutes of life remain, but I must use them to save my liege.
And he sees Odin's capsule, this giant dildo thing where Odin's trapped inside. And he approaches it, and he's trying to open it.
Within yon capsule, Odin sleeps. Let my fading strength not fail me now.
And it looks like all he does is he passes his hand in front of Odin's face. And we see that Odin is awake now. Just by doing that, he's woken up Odin. And Odin speaks.
A living hand doth pass my face. Mine Odin sleep hath ended.
And we shift scenes to what they say is an unimaginable distance away. But we're actually just back in Niflheim. Actually, it wouldn't be Niflheim, would it be? It would be Muspelheim is where Surtur lives. And we see that the ocean pouring in on Surtur didn't put him out. And it just created a whole bunch of steam instead. And of course, Thor has to speak the obvious here.
The rushing sea hath flooded flaming Surtur, but now the very waters start to steam and bubble.
Neither wind nor water can quench my flame. Now taste your failure, God of Thunder.
And he's kind of walking through this torrent of water, kind of like what Thor did. He's kind of creating a kind of a parting of the Red Sea kind of thing with his fire. He's kind of blasting on the ground and evaporating all the water and making a passage for himself.
He doth draw near, parting the sea with bursts of fire. But hold, what new and welcome sounds now strike mine ears?
And we find out it's the army of Asgard, and you hear people shouting, "For Asgard!" And there's a whole bunch of spears flying towards Surtur. And Thor's like,
"Warriors have reached the site! They do attack once more!"
And there's this big, huge explosion, and kind of like rocks being shattered and stuff. So I guess they didn't hit Surtur.
"Well, 'tis in vain," says Thor. "No simple thrust of spear or sword can fell the monstrous Surtur. With heat alone, he melts thine arms with a sudden blaze of power."
So I guess that's what happened.
"Regroup thy forces," says Thor to the general of these people. There's
a bunch of guys in armor who we don't recognize.
"Look to thine armor. Let every man take heart. Mayhap we stand, mayhap we fall, but we share our fate together."
And he notices that Hogan and Fandral are riding off in a big hurry. And he's like,
"Hogan the Grim and dashing Fandral, whither goest thou?"
"God of Thunder, thou hast done thy share. Now we ride to do ours."
"But hold, you have not the power," says Thor.
"Doth not Hogan have his mace?"
"And what of Fandral's flashing blade?" says Fandral.
And the two of them are actually, they look like they're going to attack Surtur face to face here. And Thor's objecting to this.
Thor says thee nay. There be even more. There be the power of the God of Thunder, which I send to serve thee now.
And he creates, I don't know what he's doing here, but it looks like the weapons of Fandral and Hogan are being struck by lightning, which you would think would hurt Fandral and Hogan. And I'm not really sure. But weird. So Thor is shooting lightning at Fandral and Hogan's weapons, and there's like these smoke and fire coming up off these weapons, but somehow it's finding a planetoid in space and hurling it at Surtur, which makes absolutely fucking no sense at all.
Power and Ota find a distant planetoid and cause the fury of the storm to hurl it at the foe,
because they have weather in space. Yeah. Oh, Stan, or Jack, or whoever. I guess that's the kind of thing that you get from the artwork. I mean, I'm sure Stan didn't intend that. And so there's this this giant, like, asteroid moon-looking thing. It's perfectly round, like a moon, just being hurled at Surtur, and Surtur's, yeah, drawing back like, huh?
Warrior, stand fast. The deed is done.
And it looks like the moon thing has struck Surtur, but we really don't know because they don't show it. We kind of go to Fandral and Hogan here.
Though we love thee like unto a brother, says Fandral, thou hast angered us.
With sword and mace we flew to battle, but Thor hath downed our foe.
And we see that, I guess, Surtur is surrounded by the rock or whatever, and it's melting in the fire.
I only sought to save two lives, for Asgard hath much need of thee, says Thor. See how the stone begins to melt. Not even a planetoid can conquer Surtur.
Thor speaketh words of wisdom, says Hogan.
He hath proven the folly of our attack. To stand alone is to surely perish, says Thor. But Asgard doth not stand alone. Warriors, take thy places in the ranks.
And so we have, you know, the warriors, all three of them, and Thor, and they're all together with the army, and they're getting ready to charge. And Thor is kind of driving everyone on.
When all seems lost, we falter not. We charge and charge again.
And we then shift scenes again, and we are back in the dimension of the eternal darkness or whatever it is. And we see that Baldur is still alive, and even though he's like turned into this wrinkled old prune, and he has freed Odin's capsule or dildo or whatever it is from the rocks where it was. I guess they just kind of plopped it down in the rocks on this planetoid thing. Well, he's managed to drag it free, and he says,
the capsule is free. Odin hath awakened, and so let Baldur die.
And you then see that they've reappeared in Loki's castle, and Baldur and the rocket ship are both there. But, of course, Baldur's very, very old and wrinkly and, you know, emaciated, because that's what old people look like. You know, they're wrinkled and emaciated. And Sif notices they're back.
Baldur, thou hast returned. But no, 'tis not brave Baldur, mine eyes behold. 'Tis an ancient warrior, clothed in Baldur's armor, and on the verge of death.
Nay, 'tis truly Baldur, says Aigron, for none save Odin may survive the dimension of death.
He grows older still, even as we speak. Oh, thou hast given thy life, brave Baldur, in the service of thy liege. None could e'er do more.
And then there's a voice from behind Sif, and you know, she has a hand on her shoulder here.
Mourn not, fair goddess, the spark of life still flickers. And mine is the power to strengthen it anew.
My lord Odin, thou art returned.
Because she didn't notice the giant capsule thing with Baldur that appeared on the platform.
Aye, and vengeance is at hand.
And we shift scenes back to the battle where Thor and the army are fighting Surtur. And the army is kind of, you know, they're kind of one by one going up and smashing on Surtur, and Surtur shooting blasts and stuff and destroying their weapons. It's all very, Kirby-ish and dynamic.
'Tis hopeless. Surtur does but toy with us.
His patience grows thin. His fury mounts. Our weapons are useless against his flame.
Even our shields cannot protect us. With the merest touch, he sets them ablaze.
The end hath come. But we shall not falter.
With gods we have lived. Like gods, let us die.
And Surtur is watching all of this in amusement.
The time has come. Asgard shall stand no more. But one still stands, daring to use his power against me.
And so Surtur turns towards Thor, who's kind of standing up on a hillside, and looks like he's shooting lightning out of his hammer at Surtur.
Whilst breath remains, the thunder god fights on.
Then let breath remain no more.
And Surtur smashes the cliffside or whatever it is that Thor is standing on. Throws Thor back into like the ranks of the army, and he's laying on the ground. We see Fandral and Hogan, they're kind of lifting him up off the ground. And we see other warriors, and obviously because their swords and spears didn't work, they're bringing in this big, super sci-fi gun.
"My prince, thou didst survive his blast," says Fandral.
"No matter if Thor live or die, the monster must be stopped. The frost gun, fire! I say thee, fire!"
And they shoot the frost gun at Surtur.
"Let Surtur be entombed within a cage of ice."
And, that's kind of just a dumb idea. And anyway, so the frost gun is shooting Iceman kind of, frost bolts at Surtur. Surtur looks like he's in pain, but it's hard to tell. The art here is so sketchy. And obviously it's not working.
Again, his flame grows stronger. The ice begins to melt.
And we see a panel here of Thor and all these warriors is kind of laying on the ground, and they look like they're charred to a crisp, and it looks like in this panel looks like Thor's dick is hanging out. I mean, it does. It really does. Anyway, so they're all kind of laying, and it looks to me like all of them are just completely crispy critters, but one of these guys is clearly Thor, and he's saying,
"Warriors, rise. Thor says to thee, fight on, fight on."
"It is ended, God of Thunder. The triumph is mine. For Asgard, only death remains."
And we see Surtur is approaching, and Thor still wants to fight. He's like,
"Come, Surtur, or come death. Thor shall face them hammer in hand."
And we get a shot of Surtur here. And on this page, Surtur's horns are gone, completely gone. So that we went from having these kind of big wobbly horns, last issue, to having sort of normal, smaller horns this time. Now he's got no horns, so much for consistency. You don't read a Jack Kirby comic for consistency. You read it for the dynamic art. That's really why.
"I cannot crush your spirit," says Surtur, "but I can take your life. And Surtur will do so now."
And a voice comes out.
"I say thee nay."
"That voice, the only one I have ever feared."
"In the bowels of the earth I trapped thee once, so shall I do again."
And the earth splits open, and Surtur is surrounded by Kirby Crackle, and he falls down and into this big crack in the ground.
"No! No! No!"
And the big crack in the ground closes up, and we see Surtur's hands coming out, and it's the stereotypical thing, the big crack comes closed, and Surtur is going, "No!" And it looks like the ground is partially melting, and this is kind of this mountain forming over the top of where Surtur's got pulled into the ground.
"The God of Fire hath been entombed," says Thor. "Then we did not fight in vain. Asgard shall live," says Hogan.
"Rise, Asgardians," screams Thor. "Thou art warriors all, and though thy limbs be weak or aching, let us stand like victors, for we be defenders of the realm."
And we see everybody's raising their weapons in the air and saluting and whatever.
"Let us hail the one we serve, the one who brought us triumph, the way and the light, the power and the word. Hail to Odin! Still doth he reign supreme."
Next issue, The Stranger. And that is Thor, number 177. And as always, we do have a few things to say about it. But first, a message from one of our friends.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarter Bin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarter Bin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com, or search Relatively Geeky or Quarterbin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
Indeed. And incidentally, if you want to go back and read these issues, they have been reprinted a couple of times. The first place they've been reprinted was in Marvel Masterworks Thor Volume 9. And you can also find this issue in The Essential Thor Volume 4. All right, so just a few comments about the issue here. The first thing I notice about this issue is that the art is really sketchy. The art is not up to Kirby's normal standard. And clearly at this point, Kirby has really lost interest in the title, and it shows in the work. I mean, you know, the inks of Vinnie Coletta, they're not, you know, making the art more detailed. They're, if anything, they're making the art less detailed. It's like he's just doing these really, really rough layouts, and Coletta isn't bothering to really embellish them that much. There's some faces in here that are just truly bizarre, and they don't really look like Kirby faces at all. I'm kind of wondering if Coletta is doing any redrawing, or maybe somebody in Marvel's production department, because we have, you know, the very last page of the issue, we have a shot here of Thor, and, you know, in the panel above it, it's very clearly a Kirby face. And this one, everything from the mouth up looks like it's been redrawn by, you know, John Severn or somebody. It's totally, totally not in Kirby's style. There's a few really good pages in here. There's some of the battle scenes with Surtur here where he's being knocked around by Surtur. You know, some of them are pretty cool. But by and large, you know, the art is not really impressive, and it's kind of a shame that it's not. You know, obviously, lately, Kirby, they're not feeling it anymore. At least Jack's not feeling it anymore. And so he's turning in, I would say, almost the bare minimum of what he can turn in and not have Stan object to. And that's a real shame. And, you know, of course, he'll be off the book soon. With, you know, I think we have like 4 issues left before Jack Kirby's last issue. And really, I can't say all that much good about the story either. I mean, it's an action issue, a lot of fighting. That doesn't make for great narrative. But the story in this is equally as poor as the art. So, you know, neither Stan nor Jack was turning in very good work in this issue. Like I said a couple of episodes ago, journey into mediocrity indeed. It almost makes me look forward to these Buscema Roy Thomas issues that we have coming up, you know, and I'm a fan of the Lee Kirby stuff. I really like the Lee Kirby stuff, and it's really, really sad to see the quality of this issue when you compare it to past run. It's just not standing up to it at all. All right, so with that, I think it's about time to wrap up the show. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. We really do appreciate your support. As always, you know, we would love it if you would email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also join our Facebook group, and you can join us in the conversations there or start new conversations there. Because we always need people to be active on the Facebook group. Otherwise, not a lot gets said. Lord knows I'm not starting conversations on there. It's just because I'm just too busy. I don't really log onto Facebook all that much. I mean, I'm on every day, but I don't have time just to, you know, spend a lot of time starting new conversations, and I should really stop digging this hole while I can. All right, and with that, I am back over the Rainbow Bridge, back down to Midgard, and we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.